If you would stand with me as we turn to the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. We'll shorten it up here a little bit and just read 23, 24, and 25. 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's foolishness and weakness. Seems kind of odd to consider that, but if man has that opinion about God being foolish and being weak, it's still stronger and still wiser than anything man can come up with. Amen. You may be seated. This passage reminds me of the story of a little boy home from Sunday school, and his mother asked him, "What did you learn today?" He replied, "Oh, Moses crossing the Red Sea." "Oh, how did that happen?" And he began his explanation. Moses and the people of Israel were at the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army behind them. So Moses set up catapults so that he could disperse the army pursuing them and made sure there were archers to protect them. And then he got the engineers to start building a pontoon bridge. And they got, and his mother interrupted him, wait, that's not how it went. And the little boy said, "No, it isn't, but you wouldn't believe how the teacher told it." I don't know about you, but this time of the year, along with Christmas and Easter, you kind of start wondering, why did God do it that way? And then we start, or I do anyway, start thinking, how would I have done it? How would I have brought the Savior into the world? How would I have purchased salvation for all mankind? And the way God did it is perfect. But we can't help but wonder, couldn't there have been an easier way? Couldn't there be a less suffering way? But the Lord brought about His plan. And our perceptions of it may not grasp totally, well, certainly not, all that He would accomplish. But yet, God's foolishness is wiser than men. God's weakness is stronger than men. I'm thankful I'm putting my trust in the one who is wiser, the one who is stronger. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And yet we look at the divine record. Adam and Eve in the garden, out of every tree you may eat except this one. Why even put it there? But they had to choose, just like you and I have to choose. And Joshua would make that strong statement, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And how important that is as well. Noah and the Ark, the long-term construction project from men who had no experience in shipbuilding, no shipwrights for them to call upon, hadn't rained, and a flood. They just had difficulty grasping that. March around Jericho? We've been marching for 40 years. going to march for another week. And then we got to watch for a red line hanging down from the wall. And a woman named Rahab and her house are going to be saved. You know, we look at a lot of things in the scripture and we wonder about him. I think about Naaman as a case in point. The description of him is quite grand in that he is a captain in the Syrian army. The Bible describes him as great and honorable, a mighty man in valor. He has all of this recognition. He probably is decorated with medals, recognized and respected. But he's a leper. And that, in all of the parades from victories that they return to the city and he is recognized, there are children that probably gasp and point, you know, in their innocence, in their way of not being aware of proper protocol and so on. They would just say and point out the leprosy and so on. That was something he couldn't do anything about. All of his valor, all of his bravery, all of his meritorial acts and so on, he couldn't do anything about it. He led and developed leaders. He accomplished great military victories and developed that might in diplomacy and statesmanship and so on. But he was a leper. But there was a little girl there who was captive. A little girl who was recognized as a maid of Israel, the servant of Naaman's wife. She was one, she was all alone, but she was used of God. Amen. Lord bless Becca and her efforts with today's Christian girl. Helped understand you can stand out. You can be used of the Lord. You can be a vessel of honor. Praise God. And that little girl, all by herself, far from her family, far from Jerusalem, far from the temple, yet she had something to say. And it caused Naaman to make a journey. He went to the king, and then he went to the prophet, and he heard the message that did not make sense to him. In fact, it made him angry. It would disappointed him. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And he began to compare the rivers of his homeland and the muddy little stream called the Jordan. And he began to reason in his mind and so on how he felt like he was being mocked and he felt like he was being ridiculed. He almost didn't do it because he thought it was foolish. But his servants convinced him. If the prophet had said for you to do something great and something costly, you would have done it. But now this simple little thing, now this easy little task, go to the Jordan and wash 7 times. Give it a try. See what happens. And they convinced Naaman to make that trip. Oh, how important it is today to not think that the commands of God are foolish and that you can come up with a better way or that philosophy or religion or anything could displace the things of God. Amen. Naaman dipped himself in that muddy water 7 times. And oh, what an incredible change. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what took place. I don't know if the scabs and the sores and just the putrefying aspect of the leprosy was washed in the muddy waters of the stream. But that 7th time he came up, and the Bible says his flesh was as of a little child. Praise God. Amen. And what a change. Not only a cleansing, but a conversion. He didn't offer sacrifices to other gods anymore. Because what he thought was foolish, what he thought was weak, became exactly what he needed. Praise God. The Bible says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Amen. God chose preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The text says the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Sign seekers can be deceived. That's why you need to stay with the word of the Lord. The wisdom of the world is finite. Paul said, my preaching was not with words of man's wisdom, but it was power and demonstration of the Spirit. Praise God. Not his power, not his demonstration. It was the Spirit that made the difference and what God can do. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we can put our trust in the way the Lord would direct it and the way the Lord would guide it. Amen. The songwriter had the words of Joseph wondering, isn't this a strange way to save the world? This, you know, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. And why him with all the rulers in the world? Isn't there someone that could be tapped to do the work? And why her? She's just a young girl. And why here, a place filled with hay? And he has all of this wondering, according to the song, anyway. But God brings it about. Praise God. And what an amazing thing that was taking place. The infinite became finite. The unlimited took on limitations. A vulnerable little baby, helpless, lying in a manger. Amen. And then tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But the sin of the whole world being put upon him, the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53 says, the transgressions of us all, the sin and the sorrow and the grief of us all, he bore in that judgment and that crucifixion. What an amazing plan that the Lord would fulfill and bring forth. Amen. But oh, what a powerful resurrection. Amen. Praise God. What a powerful resurrection. His death, his burial, his time on the cross, indeed weakness. Indeed, what the Greeks would say is foolishness. And what the Hebrews would say is just a display of nothing that they would think would require power and so on. But oh, thank God, a resurrection that was so powerful. Powerful over death. Amen. Jesus having the keys of death and of hell, defeating the devil. The grave did not have the last word. Praise God. The power of the Lord came forth in a great way. The message of the angels, why seek ye him who is alive? He is not dead. He is risen. Praise God. The power of the Lord and the blessing that he would bring forth. And again, how would you have done it? How would you have accomplished it? Amen. Oh, it would have been easy for the Lord to snap his fingers in the divine heavens and declare that salvation is available. Salvation is there. Simply ask it. Simply think it, and it would be done. The Lord could have done it that way. But his word required sacrifice. His word required the shedding of blood. And so he came as a little baby. 33 and a half years upon the world that he had spoken into existence. Praise God. And then he demonstrated his great power. Amen. Oh, thank God. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. There's no limit to the resources that he makes available to us. I'm thankful we can stay with the plan of the one who knows the end from the beginning and is able to bring forth that power. Now, in Acts 17, there's a demonstration of what people or how people would react to the preaching of the Word of God. And certainly in the 21st century, there's no lack of attitudes that were reflected on Mars Hill in the city of Athens. The Apostle Paul went to that place, and his spirit was stirred within him because he saw the idolatry. He saw the people worshiping the unknown God, and he desired that they would know who it is that is all powerful. And he began to preach to them Jesus. Amen. The city wholly given to idolatry. And Paul's spirit was stirred within him. He spoke in the synagogue. He spoke in the markets daily. But he was finally invited by the philosophers, by those who were Epicureans and Stoics with all their different opinions and all their different ideas. And they wanted to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say. And their discussion among themselves as they made that invitation was not complimentary. They said, "What will this babbler say?" He seems to be preaching about strange gods. He seems to be bringing strange things to our ears. And we want to hear what these things mean. And Paul used the opportunity to preach about the resurrection. In fact, in the book of Acts, at least 10 times, you can find direct reference to the resurrection. Oh, it's something to celebrate. It's something to be joyful about. It's something to let others know. Hallelujah. How great and how powerful and how wonderful our God is. Amen. They inquired. They said, "We want to know about this new doctrine of what you speak. We want to know what these things mean." And Paul preached Jesus. Amen. Preaching pleases the Lord. Thank God. He told them, you're too superstitious, or you're too religious. You've even got an inscription to the unknown God. And he's the one I want to declare unto you. He gave them direction. He said, "Seek the Lord and you can find him. He's not far from every one of us." He quoted one of their poets, "In him we live and move and have our being." And then he pointed them to repentance, because there's judgment. And the sign of that judgment is he has raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. Thank the Lord that we can prepare as the Lord has made it available. The resurrection is the assurance that God is going to fulfill his word. It is going to come to pass. Praise God. Now, there were those who heard about the resurrection. And no doubt, they had been to many funerals. They had said goodbye to many fellow philosophers. They had bid their loved ones goodbye at the cemetery. And to hear about the resurrection was incredible to them. And some of them mocked. Some of them just outright laughed. They debated. They discussed. They looked at death as a finality. And there's no way you can live again. It's over. It's done. It's gone. They had faith in their philosophies. What they needed to have faith in is the God of the resurrection. Praise God. The one who says, "You can live again. Hallelujah. You can have eternal life. You can know power and blessing." Those who mocked and those who scoffed simply turned away from what the apostle had to say. There were a second group who said, "We want to learn a little bit more. We want to hear more about it." They were perhaps some that could grasp things a little bit better. Indecisive, wavering perhaps, procrastinating. Indecisive. The highway of life is filled with flat squirrels that couldn't make a decision. These people couldn't decide. "Oh, we'll think about it. We'll let you know. Don't call us, we'll call you." I wonder if they ever did learn. I wonder if they ever did get the opportunity. I wonder if they did find the power that Paul preached to them. But oh, thank God, there were some who believed. Dionysius, Damaris, men and women who believed. Thank God, it's open to everybody. Amen. Everybody can believe it. Everybody can receive it. Everybody can know. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Out of those three groups, those who mocked, those who waited, those who believed, who received the most? Who had peace? Who experienced power? Who knew the truth of the Word of God? and then would continue on in their lives, receiving more and more and more as what God would provide for them. Praise God. Mock, wait, or believe. Amen. I'm glad I believed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. First time I went to a Pentecostal church as a little boy, I may have mocked. I may have wondered, what in the world are they doing? What are they reaching for? Why are they crying? And I didn't understand it. But oh, thank God somebody reached heaven for me. Somebody cried for me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody invited me. Praise God. And I came again. Hallelujah. And oh, the Lord's power with deliverance. The Lord's blessing with answered prayer. The Lord's peace and power in his name of baptism and repentance and receiving of his Spirit. Oh, thank God for the choice and the opportunity to know his power today. So the impact of the resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. And he came to give life and that more abundantly. Thank God for resurrection power that would also bring healing. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord raises you up. Hallelujah. That's resurrection power. That's deliverance. Amen. That's healing that only the Lord can provide. Amen. I thank God for doctors and hospitals. I thank God for medications and all of the treatments that we might be able to receive. But I'm thankful I can call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And have healing come when it cannot come anywhere else. Thank God. I can give God a chance. I can give God first opportunity. I can believe him to do the work of healing. Praise God. And resurrection power is there. And the scripture tells us, if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, I need to have his spirit dwelling in me. Praise God, because I want that quickening power. I want that power to bring life. I want that power to make alive. Hallelujah. Not only at the time of the sounding of the trumpet, but right here and now. Praise God. To know power, to know blessing, to know life, to know strength, to know wisdom. Hallelujah. Because God and his power is greater than man, wiser than man. Praise God. Amen. Think about that group that gathered around him as he made his entrance into the world. A small group. His mom and dad, the shepherds, and then sometime later the kings. Just a small gathering. And then in his life, the thousands that he fed. The thousands that accompanied him and wanted to see the miracles. Hundreds of those that he healed. Praise God. The numbers grew. But then at the cross, again, just a small crowd. Just a small group. In the resurrection, that same small group. And some of them had trouble believing it. Some of them doubted. Some of them insisted, I've got to see him myself. That's not bad, because when you ask the Lord to see it for yourself, you will. You will get it yourself. Praise God. You will have an experience yourself. You will know the power of God yourself. Amen. But oh, the 120 in the upper room. Praise God. And then the 3,000, and then 5,000, and then multitudes. Praise God. A whole city that would come together. Amen. To know the power of the Lord. The outpouring of the Spirit of God upon thousands. And the millions that we're going to meet when the trumpet sounds. Praise God. And we rise to meet him in the air together. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. The foolishness of God is wiser. The weakness of God is stronger. Praise God. Because I want to make it in his presence. Would you stand with me now? Praise God. What a gathering. What a gathering. Hallelujah. Praise God. What an opportunity to enjoy the blessing and the strength of God. Amen. And I trust that you are determined. You're not going to miss out. You're not going to join the crowd of the mockers and the scoffers. You're not going to let them influence you. You're not going to procrastinate. You're not going to wait. You're not going to sit back and just allow time to escape and you do without the things of God. No, you're going to step in like Dionysius, one of the prominent men who believed the preaching of the Apostle Paul, like Damaris, the woman who desired to know what Paul was talking about. Thank God, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, it doesn't matter. Everyone can experience what God desires to do. Amen. And I've experienced it. You've experienced it. And we can let others know. Praise God, how powerful and how wonderful He is. I wonder if we can gather at an altar here today. Gather in this place. Gather at this time, expressing a determination. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to keep walking, keep serving, keep believing, keep obeying. Praise God, because I don't want to miss out. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to be left behind. Praise God. I want the presence and the power of God. Amen. Let's come together here now. Let's believe God. Amen. And desire His touch and His blessing in our hearts and our lives. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Hallelujah.